Our meeting today is a continuation of the series on the man God uses. The man God uses is a very important subject for the times that are upon us today. The man God uses, we began the first series, that was about 2 weeks ago, and this particular week we are continuing on that series. Please, I want you to brace yourselves. The Lord will be passing through this message to minister life, when I mean substance, to us. If you happen to be a minister of the gospel, I know that this will so much be of relevance and importance to you. If you're not a minister of the gospel, according to the ecclesiastical offices, according to the divine offices, if you're just an average believer, you are also welcome on board, because this message is going to impart something to your spirit. Now, there's something I want to emphasize now concerning our callings. Our calling, you know, there are different types of callings. Listen carefully. And all I'm saying here is subjective and not objective. Not all per se, but this item I'm listing now is subjective. So, there are different types of calling. There is the universal call of God. There is the ecclesiastical call of God. There is the divine call of God. Now, the universal call of God is the call of God to accept Christ. Everyone is universally called to accept Christ. Everyone breathing today has a call to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. So, no man on earth today does not have a call. So, touching universal call, everyone has a call. Both the Muslim out there, both the Imams, both the Hindus, both the Buddhists, they all have a call to worship God through Jesus Christ. The universal call of God is through Jesus Christ, that is, accepting, living, and walking in Him. Get this very clear. I said there are three types of call, that is universal, ecclesiastical, and divine call. Now, in this universal call, every man ought to know Jesus. And no man can enter the pearly gates of heaven except through Jesus. That's why Jesus said, I am the way. Not a way, but I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the life man is seeking after this life on this side Jordan is captured in Jesus Christ. Jesus captures that life. So if you want to find the life that is going to sustain you, hereafter you die, Jesus has that life. So Jesus is the life Himself, not just having the life, but He is the life Himself. So every man is universally called to accept Jesus. Then the next call is the ecclesiastical call. There is a call to serve God. The ecclesiastical call is a call to serve. Are you seeing? The universal call is a call to receive, to know Him. The ecclesiastical call is a call to serve Jesus. You can serve Him in various capacities. Some serve Him as ushers in the church. Some serve Him as gospel singers. Some serve Him in the helps ministry. Some serve Him in different capacities. That is in the ecclesiastical call. The ecclesiastical call is a service in God's house. Now I run to the third item, which is the universal, the divine call. The divine call is a call into the fivefold ministry. Are you getting me? Into the office of the apostle, or the office of the prophet, or the office of the evangelist, or the office of the pastor, or the office of the teacher, as captured in Ephesians 4, where Paul was talking about these ministries. If you read Ephesians 4:11, you see that, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So this universal call is actually a call to lead in the body. You know, we are the army of God, and in the army there are rankings. You don't have everyone at the forefront. There are people that calls the shot, you know. There are those in the rear, there are those in the vanguard. So you must understand that These callings are real. Every man is called universally to receive Jesus, to know him. And there is also the ecclesiastical call to serve in any capacity within the body of Christ. In the ecclesiastical call, God can call you to serve through his servants. You know, God may have a particular servant spearheading a work, and he may say, I want you to join yourself to this servant and serve with him. You may serve in his ministry as an usher. You may serve as in the help ministry. You may even serve as a financier to that ministry. It's all part of the ecclesiastical call to serve in the capacity of pushing the gospel ahead. Now, the one of the divine call, those are those that have a most sensitive ministry, the most sensitive ministry in the sense that they are the ones to give account of the sheep on the last day. They are the ones to whom the Lord has committed the sheep to. Jesus says, Simon, Simon, lovest thou me? Simon said, yes, I love you, Messiah. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. He asked him again, Simon, Simon, do you love me? He said, yes, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. And Jesus called Peter the third time, and Peter was offended. He said, but you know I love you. You know I love you. Jesus said, feed my love. Now, get this very clear. Why Jesus could tell Peter that, he could not tell that to every other, of his follower. But because Peter was ordained to be at the forefront, he was ordained to be a special apostle. Now, listening to this, in the divine call is actually a call to lead in the body. So some lead as apostles, some lead as prophets, some lead as evangelists, some lead as pastors and teachers. Okay, this is not actually in my scheme of work for tonight's teaching, but I just thought that this would be a blessing. I hope it's a blessing to you. You just have to know this. The universal call, ecclesiastical call, and the divine call. So I'm talking about the man God uses. So for the item we are looking at tonight, I think what I just emphasized upon is a vital knowledge for us. I hope the knowledge, you caught something from it. If you caught something from it, I'd like you to indicate at the comment section. Now, everyone listening carefully, I want you to know that what I just emphasized upon is important for you to know if actually you want to be a true servant of the Messiah. If you want to be a true servant of the Messiah, you must know what I just emphasized upon. Oh, God bless you all. I see you all saying you got it. The man God uses. Last time we talked about Elias, like the Grecians call him, Elias. In the Hebrew, is Elijah. Okay, we saw Elijah saying in 1 Kings 17, before God whom I stand, there shall be no rain. And we emphasized on the item of the secret place, the importance of maintaining the secret place. A man that is called and desiring to do exploits without maintaining order in the secret place is a man that will lose relevance. Elijah said, before God whom I stand, there shall be no rain this number of years. And indeed, there was no rain. Could anybody have said that and received that result? No. Why did Elijah receive such a result in making mention of that utterance? It is because he stands in the presence of God. He says, before God whom I stand. So last time, I made an emphasis to say that the man God uses must be a man of the secret place. If you're not a man of the secret place, you can't wield power. You can't command power. Because it's in the secret place that God empowers his children. It's in the secret place that God anoints his children. It's in the secret place. You know, Jesus was praying in the secret place. He was praying at Gethsemane. And the scripture says an angel came forth and strengthened him. An angel came forth and strengthened the Messiah whilst he was praying at Gethsemane. Why did the angel not strengthen him while he was doing other business? Okay, during the transfiguration, during his transfiguration, why did his garments start shining, and why did he see Elijah and Moses? Why did he see those two witnesses? It is because he maintained the secret place. The secret place is the place of encounter, is the place of transformation. In the secret place of prayer, there is nothing God cannot handle in your life. There is nothing God cannot fix in your life in the secret place. The secret place is the place where God tells man to come up higher. It's a place of raising. It's a place where God raises generals. But tonight, my emphasis is not on the secret place. I want to emphasize on something else which I call compassion. If I'm to talk about the secret place, I think I'll have much to say that I did not say in the last meeting, but suffice it that I move to this subject on compassion. The man God uses must be a man of compassion. He must be a man of compassion. The Messiah, in all of his deity, was a man of compassion. Jesus had all the powers of the universe, for he was and is God himself. Yet, he had compassion on the sick. He had compassion on the weak. He had compassion on the blind. He had compassion on the lame. He had compassion on the poor. He had compassion on everyone he met on the way. Despite all that he is, he had compassion. So, my friend, if God is going to use you in a great capacity, you must be a man of compassion. You must be a woman of compassion. Listen. You must be a man of compassion and a woman of compassion if God is going to use you in great measures. Get this and get this clear. You cannot run away from this matter. God does not use people that are hardened in heart. God does not use people that cannot feel. Oh, Jesus, isn't it that it is said of a high priest that we do not have a high priest that cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmity? That is to say, we have a high priest that understands what we go through. He understands what we pass through. He said, and when you pass through the fire, I will be with you. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. The fire will not burn you. The waters will not drown you. I will be with you because I am compassionate about you. Compassion. I told us last time that without compassion, we cannot do many things for God. Compassion is one feature that opens realms of possibility for us. That is to say, I said last time that you cannot heal the sick in the name of the Lord if you don't have compassion for the sick. You cannot raise the dead if you don't have compassion for the dead. God cannot use you in any dimension that you don't have compassion about. Isaiah 42:22. He says, "This is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. Therefore, he pray and none deliver it. For he spoil and none saith restore." That is to say, if any man is saying restore in his heart, restore in his heart, God will anoint that man specially to go bring restoration to his people. Get this clear. Compassion is a very sensitive subject. So, compassion, please, compassion. Compassion. The devil is a hardened, he is a hardened bad guy. The devil is hardened. The devil is hardened. The devil has no compassion. He has no compassion. That's why he can do no good. But our Messiah has much compassion in him. For him to leave all the glory of heaven and descend to the earth. Something drove him. Something drove him. Compassion. He saw a multitude heading to eternal damnation. And it is written that for God so loved, for God so had compassion on the world. Compassion drove him. Drew him. He drove him. For God so loved the world. For God was so compassionate about the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. But have what? Eternal life. So, compassion made the Father make the call to the Son to come die for the world. And compassion drove the Messiah to die for the world. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. not any scripture you see everlasting life. It's not supposed to be everlasting life. It is eternal life. Yes, there's a difference between everlasting and eternal. Have I told us that before? Have you heard that from me before? There's a difference between everlasting and eternal. The life God gives to us is not an everlasting life, but it is an eternal life. Now listen. If you're a good English student, you will know that everlasting deals with that which began and has no end. Listen. The devil is everlasting. He began and he will have no end because he will be in eternal damnation in hellfire. So forever and ever, the devil will still remain in hell. Man was created mortal, and man was born mortal, and man will die and go into eternity and become everlasting. So man becomes everlasting, meaning that man will not be able to die again, either in heaven or in hell. Now get this, eternal is that which has no beginning and has no end. Eternal has no beginning and has no end. So God is eternal. He has no beginning. He has no end. The angels are everlasting because they had a beginning. There was a day God created them. There was a day God created the devil. There was a day God created all things that you see, seen and unseen. They were all created in one day, in a particular day. But if it is talking about God, he is eternal. He has neither beginning nor ending. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So he has no beginning. Before the beginning began, he existed. Before time began, he existed. He's not a creator of time. Now, you must understand that the eternalness of God is passed on to the new creation. So the life we receive from God, the eternal life, the Zoe, is an eternal life from God. So it is passed to every believer. Every believer out there has received eternal life from God. But many can lose their life if they don't maintain fellowship. There are many that bring doctrines of the devil to tell you that you can't lose your salvation. But you, my friend, you can lose your salvation if you don't take heed. The children of Israel came out of Egypt, but they could not enter the promise because of unbelief. So a man can lose his salvation. Lot was saved from where they call that city again, Sodom and Gomorrah. He was saved with his family, but the wife looked back. Look, the woman has been saved, salvation, but she looked back. Are you saying, as she turned to his sword, she perished? So, if you have received the Messiah, you can lose your salvation if you keep looking back. So, get this. Have you gotten the meaning of the difference between eternal and everlasting now? Please, you can do a check. Berean Christians, you can do a check after this teaching, after this study. Eternal is different from everlasting. Everlasting has a beginning, but has no end. But eternal has no beginning, is got no end. Man created in the image of God is created to be everlasting. So every man will either be in heaven or in hell. The memory will not be wiped out. Revelation 14:11 says the smoke of the atonement ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. Forever and ever. So every man is going to be living forever and ever. Everybody you know, man, woman, bond, free. Everybody you know is going to live forever, but either in heaven or in hell. So, but then all who receive Jesus receive the life of God. A life of God, the life of God transferred into them. That is eternal life. Oh my God, I'm scratching other matters without laying much emphasis on my subject today, on the man God uses. God help me. Okay. Now, I said you must be a vessel of compassion. Isaiah 42:22 talked about the people robbed and spoiled. All of them snared in holes, hidden prisoners, none for a prey, and they are for a prey, none delivered for a spoil, none set restore. So God is looking for people that will restore destinies. Listen to me. God is looking for people that will restore destinies. Like as you are right now, if you have, I was telling us last time that your body is your calling. How you know your calling is through your body. Know your body, know your calling, know your calling, know your burden. Now, there are some persons that have this penchant for politics. They just love anything about politics. Politics, right from when they were small, they grew into it. You know that in one way or the other, God has a calling for them in the political world. But God will have to prepare them for the assignment. So when they go, they can represent the kingdom. They can bring the kingdom to their sphere. So God prepares them for that assignment. So if such persons, not just in the realm of politics alone, if you have compassion about anything, God can anoint you for that thing. If you always see the sick and you're always crying and you don't like the sickness and all of that, if you pray for the healing anointing, God will give it to you very easily because you have compassion in that place. And God knows that you will utilize the material He gives to you. So that is it. If you're the type that you hate to see people poor, you just hate poverty, please start praying. Say, God, bless me with wealth and I will use it for your kingdom. My friend, it wouldn't take too long. God will bless you with wealth for the kingdom. That is the operations of God. You know your calling through your body. Now, talking about compassion, there is nothing Jesus did that He did not do out of compassion. Let's journey through the scriptures. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Scripture says, but when Jesus saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they had fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus was moved with compassion on them. He was moved. He was always moved. Compassion moves Him. How will you explain God incarnated in the person of Christ and could cry? How could God cry? Do you know God cried on earth? He heard that Lazarus was dead. His friend, he said, Lazarus dead. And the Bible said Jesus wept. What? Why would Jesus weep? Compassion. 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 The Father saw that the Messiah had wept over this man. And the anointing was released for the raising of Lazarus. Your Lazarus is out there. Your Lazarus is out there for you to raise. But if you can have compassion towards your Lazarus, the anointing to raise your Lazarus will be released. Yes. The anointing to raise your Lazarus can be anything. There is an anointing to raise Lazarus for in your generation. But you need to have compassion for your Lazarus. So Jesus had compassion for Lazarus. He did not end it. And He gave thanks to the Father. I say, I give you thanks because I know you hear me. That is to say, Jesus has even prayed over Lazarus overnight. Compassion is very important. It's a key element in working in the supernatural. Compassion is a key element in working in the miraculous. Peter saw the man at the beautiful gate, and he saw the man, they were moved with compassion. He said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have, give I to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man rose up, and the man walked. Because they first had compassion over the man. And the anointing was released. Look at Matthew 14:14. He said, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed their sick. Matthew 14:14. He was moved with compassion towards the multitude, and the next thing, the healing anointing began to flow and He healed the sick. He had compassion for the sick. He healed the sick. If you have compassion for the sick, you heal the sick. If you have compassion for anything, God will bless you with the anointing to be relevant in that thing and to do exploits in that sphere. Please, this is not a truth you hear always. This is something you must capture in your spirit and run with. This is a truth like never before. So, where we read before in Matthew chapter 9 verse 36, I noted something. Yeah, the last line said, and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So as sheep having no shepherd, they were scattered abroad. So Jesus saw the people as sheep without shepherd. So He said, no, these people need to be saved. These people need to be gathered. These people need to be gathered. If you don't have compassion for sinners, you can't win souls. Hey, my friend, if you don't have compassion for sinners, you can't win souls. We have not been winning souls this season. We believers have not been winning souls this season because we have lost compassion for sinners. We have no more compassion. We don't have compassion anymore for sinners. We see sinners journeying to hell, and we take it lightly because there is no more compassion. There is no more compassion. There is no more compassion. We don't partner with the gospel financially because we don't have compassion to see that the gospel travails and the gospel prevails and that the gospel goes to the ends of the earth. Compassion is one key element that can make you relevant in God's program. Without compassion, you can't do nothing for God. Jesus said, these people have become as sheep without shepherd. So he was moved with compassion. Talking about God's generals of old, there was a man called Alexander Dowie. He was a mentor to John G. Lake, John Graham Lake of blessed memory. This man, you watch their ministry, especially John Lake, before he began to work in the supernatural, before he began to work in the healing ministry, before he began to do exploits for God, he had a revelation of God's people as sheep without shepherd. He saw them and he was moved with compassion and said, no, Lord, I need to gather your people. And the compassion brought the anointing. You can't be anointed if you are not compassionate. You can't do much for God and with God if you are not a vessel of compassion. Compassion is necessary. Compassion is important. Compassion, compassion. I pray tonight, I pray for everyone listening to this broadcast, that in the name above every name, Jesus of Nazareth, the Lord will make you a man of compassion. The Lord will make you a woman of compassion in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The Lord will make you a vessel of compassion in the name of Jesus. Something happened some time ago. I was, while I came to Abuja earlier, in the beginning of my days in Abuja, a particular sister called me and said a woman had issues and her son was in the hospital. The son was hospitalized and the Spirit of God told me that it is witchcraft. So the woman said the person whose son is in the hospital was about to die and the doctors had given up. Compassion drew me. I said, give me the number of the woman. And they gave me the number. And I called and said, put it on the loudspeaker. Keep it on that bed. I tell you the truth. The doctors had already given up on the case of the boy because the boy was losing. Life was just getting out of his body. And they could not notify what was causing that fever. That is actually one of the manipulations of witches. So the boy was on the bed and they put that phone on loudspeaker. And in the name above every name, Jesus, I began to curse that spirit of witchcraft. I began to curse it and curse it and curse it. While I dropped the phone and attended to other things, it was not up to 30 minutes, the sister called me and said, the boy has gotten up. That all of a sudden the boy is totally fine. I said, glory be to God. They brought the boy back home, discharged him that same day. And the boy went to his family house where that issue started. And immediately went to the family as the same witchcraft manipulation began again. So they called me and I heard it and I had to rush down to the house of this young lad. The boy was about 9 or 10 years old as at then. And when I saw the boy, men, they were pouring him water. He was stark naked. They were trying to revive him. And I came there in the name of the Lord, and I came with my assistant as a den. We entered into the room. I had to tell the people to excuse us because in the scriptures, when Jesus was to raise the dead, he always asked the people to excuse him. Even when Peter was to raise Dorcas, they followed the same protocol and asked the people to excuse him. So I also, as the scripture said, I told the people, excuse me. So I stayed with the boy, and I began to curse that devil, molesting the boy. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I arrested that spirit of witchcraft and instantly that young boy rose up. To tell you sincerely, I was leaving the house. The boy escorted me with his mother, the same person that was unconscious. So that thing ended. But what drove that? What stirred up the anointing within me? It was compassion, nothing else. Listen, the compassion in me drove because I said, how can a young boy like this be killed by witchcraft? A boy that has not fulfilled his days. And I was angry in my spirit. Now, you can't cast out devils if you're not angry with devils. You cannot drive devils if you are not angry with devils. You cannot heal the sick if you're not angry with sickness. You cannot raise the dead if you are not angry with death.
Get this principle. It's a principle that works throughout the universe. It's a principle that works throughout the kingdom. If you are not compassionate about something, you can't do that thing. If Jesus was not compassionate about me and you, he could not die for us on the cross. Compassion drove him, and it is said by us today that it is not the nails that kept him on the cross, but love kept him on the cross. Because he had the power to take and to lay down his life. It was not the nail that kept him on that cross, but his love and compassion for us, because we are sheep without shepherd. Hallelujah. But compassion drove the Messiah, and the Messiah salvaged us to the glory of his name. Hallelujah. So, my friends, please, hear me very clearly. You must be a vessel of compassion. Enough of being hardened. Enough of being hardened, and enough of doing things as though it does not concern you. You are living your life only by yourself and for yourself and with yourself. If you are living like that, you can't do much for God, my friend. Some of you that are live on this broadcast tonight, you may have to get this message and listen to it again, because I feel that you are not catching what I'm saying. You may need to listen to this broadcast 3 times to be able to digest the magnitude of what the Lord is speaking tonight. Compassion. God is a God of compassion. The Messiah is a son of compassion. The Spirit, the Paracletos, the Comforter. Comforter. Why is he called Paracletos? Comforter. What does it mean to comfort? How can something comfort you if the thing is not compassionate about you? How can a person comfort you, really, if the person is not compassionate about you? He's a comforter because he's compassionate about us. He said that the Spirit knows our infirmities. He said we know not how and how we ought to pray. We know not what and how we ought to pray. But the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. He knows our infirmities. He helps us. He knows that we are weak vessels. He knows that we have this glory in earthen vessels. Hallelujah. But he's here to help us. The man God uses, be it under the divine call, be it under the ecclesiastical call, be it under the universal call, God wants to use you, my friend. God is in need of you, my friend. God is in need of you. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. The anointing did not keep him in one place. The anointing did not keep him in one place. He was anointed and compassion drove him. He went about doing good, healing not some, but all that were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. He was not healing some that were oppressed, but all that were oppressed. Acts 10:38. He was anointed and he kept moving so and fro. Healing, doing good, healing, doing good, healing, doing good. Compassion. Compassion. Compassion unlocks the heavens. Compassion can give you a magnitude of anointing that you have never imagined before. You can be an anointed deacon. You can be an anointed market seller. Yes, 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 yes. Look at Stephen in the Bible. Stephen was not among the leaders of the church. Stephen was among those who used to buy bread in the market for the apostles. He was among the anointed deacons going on errands for the apostles. But Stephen, the Bible says, he was filled with might. Stephen did mighty wonders. Look at many of those deacons. They did exploits. Yet, they were not leaders in the church. They were not at the front line, but they did mighty works. Why did they do that? Investigate. This man had compassion. What is compassion, my friend? What is compassion? I'm shouting compassion. I'm shouting compassion. What is compassion? What is compassion? We have several people in this broadcast that are from different nations. I've listed several nations that are present here. I'd like you to make a contribution at the comment section. Let me see what you know as compassion. Compassion is a sympathetic consciousness. A sympathetic consciousness of the grievances of others, or the distresses, or the problems or troubles of others, with a desire to alleviate it. Hallelujah. It's a sympathetic consciousness of the troubles of others, of the agonies of others, of the distresses of others, of the plight of others, together with a desire to alleviate it. That is what we call compassion. Peter Puyi from Sweden says, if compassion is recognizing other people's pain and act, okay, Comfort Opokwa in the US says, being able to feel the pain of others. Bladin from the United Arab Emirates says, pity and concern for the suffering. Oh, you all have wonderful definitions here. Compassion. Compassion. We must not be a hardened people. You must not be hard. You know, hardiness is likened to religion. The Pharisees were hardened. The Pharisees were hardened people. They will yoke you with the rules and regulations of the law, but they have no compassion for the people. He said, what you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites? Look at in your eyes, you have logs of wood. You have plank in your eye. But the little thing in the eyes of the others you are complaining about it. That's one thing with the Pharisees. They had no compassion. A man is sick, Jesus heals the sick. They say, why will you heal on a Sabbath day? Jesus said, what? But you have sheep. You have flock. When your sheep falls into a pit, you go to release it on a Sabbath day. And you expect I cannot heal on a Sabbath day. What a people. The Pharisees were hardened. And God rejected them. See, my friend, if you are hardened at heart, God will reject you. I tell you the truth. If you are hardened, God will reject you. Compassion. Marites Madrino from Hong Kong said, compassion is love for others. Oh, God bless you for that. Mulenga Wemina from Zambia says, compassion is having a feeling of pity and mercy on someone that leads you to help. Glory to Jesus. One thing I'd like you to know, your compassion is not complete if it does not move you. Hallelujah. Compassion is climaxed in movement. Compassion is climaxed in movement. If compassion does not have locomotion, it's not compassion. Compassion with no locomotion is not compassion. The Bible said in Matthew 14:14, and Jesus went forth, and he saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed them. Compassion moved them. If it does not move you, it's not compassion. Matthew 14:14. Jesus saw a great multitude. He was moved with compassion towards the man. He healed the sick. You see? He healed the sick because he was moved with compassion. Does the compassion you claim to have move you? The compassion you have, has he moved you to lay hands on the sick before and declare them healed in the name of Jesus? The compassion you have, has it moved you to look at the perishing sinner on the road and preach Jesus to him? Has the compassion you have moved you to partner with God's gospel, with the gospel of the kingdom, with your finances? Has the compassion you have moved you to helping the poor that you have the ability to help? Oh, my Jesus. My Jesus. My Jesus. Compassion stirs up the anointing. Compassion stirs up the anointing. God is a God of compassion. There is a name I call him, and most of you, most of those who are part of our midnight cry will hear me call him Compassionate Father. I call him Compassionate Father. Hallelujah. It's compassionate. He understands my troubles. He understands my weakness. He understands my pain. He understands what I pass through. My God is not a robot. My God is not a wicked ruler hanging on the sky waiting for me to disobey in order to trample on me. No, that's not my God. My God is a heavenly Father. He's compassionate. He's a God that when I have needs, he can say, oh, my son has needs. I will move to meet his needs. He's a God that when I'm sick, he will say, oh, my son is sick. No, he needs to be healed now. Yes, and that should be your God. Your God should not be just someone up there putting up rules and regulations every day, just waiting for you to feel so that he just matches you and crushes you. No. Know that you must have a relationship and fellowship with him. A lively relationship. I see many people have not come to the revelation of God. Many people have not come to the true revelation of God. Many people have not come to the new true revelation of God. There is a quote I put up today because I saw someone said something, and
I have to compliment on what the person said, and I'd like to say it here. Listening very carefully, this is GAG online Bible study, and I know you're getting blessed. Someone says, his observation is that it is dangerous for a man to do the work of God, yet not knowing the God of the work. Yes, I repeat again. The person says, it is dangerous for a man to do the work of God, yet not knowing the God of the work. And I had to compliment on what the person says by saying, I said, the real work is to know the God of the work. Hallelujah. The work, the real work is for you to know the God of the work. Many people are in the work, but they have not known the God of the work. Because the God of the work is a God of compassion. That everything that you do in the kingdom is driven by compassion. Oh, hallelujah. Compassion. The Lord helped me to actually maximize my time here tonight. I see Israel as sheep without shepherd. Israel is like a sheep without shepherd. People are perishing. People are dying. The gospel has not gotten to them. Many people are in depression, wanting to take their lives. But compassion is what is hindering the work today from movement. If you can be compassionate, God we do much with you. If you can be compassionate, I mean God will do much with you. I've read the story of God's generals, several of them, how God did mighty wonders. And my friends, please, I like you to not only read books, but learn to read biographies of people. When you read biography, you know the force behind the people. You know their driving force. And I read biographies of God's generals, several of them, if not all that can be mentioned or known in our dispensation. And I found out one thing about all of these men. They had compassion. Yes. If you don't have compassion, God will be limited in using you, with using you. You'll be limited. You'll be limited. Not that he's not powerful, but you limit God when you lack compassion. Can you journey with me to Matthew 15, verse 32? Please, this is a Bible study. I expect that we search the scriptures. You know, I can be fast in my oratory. I can be fast in my talks, but I hope you capture the things I'm saying. Matthew 15, 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude. Ah, oh Jesus, oh Jesus. He says, I have compassion on the multitude. Jesus has compassion on you. You are listening to me now. He has compassion on you. Don't think he's not aware of what you're going through. Don't think he's not aware of what you're passing through. Don't think he's not aware of the times that are upon you. Don't think he's not aware of those things that have befallen you. He says, I have compassion on the multitude, not on a few. He has compassion on all of us, everyone. Even the sinner out there that has not received him, Jesus has compassion. That's why they have not yet perished. Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude. If God has compassion on his people, why should you, a mortal, not have compassion on your fellow man? Now, he said, because they continue with me now 3 days. See, the Lord will have more compassion on you if you continue with him. You see, those of you that follow him and think that nothing is working for you, the Lord has a greater dose of compassion for you than those out there in the world. Yes, God has compassion for the world, but he has more compassion for you that is in his kingdom. He has more compassion because you belong to him and he is guarding you jealously. So he says that I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days. The multitude have followed him for 3 days. And he said, now I have compassion on them. He said, and they have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. Hallelujah.
He said, I will not send them away with empty stomach. Verse 33 and 34. He said, and his disciples said unto him, when should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to feed so great a multitude? They are saying, when are we going to have enough bread that can feed this multitude? The people are like sand. 5,000 men, except women and children, as they were not reckoned in the genealogy, as they were not counted, because the Jewish system recognizes men but does not recognize women. So when they count men, they don't count women. That's why if you watch genealogies in the scriptures, women are not mentioned. Adam and Eve gave birth to several daughters, but they were not mentioned, but they had to mention Cain, Abel, and such. But they didn't mention the women because that is a Jewish pattern. So the people Jesus fed, they were beyond 5,000. 5,000 men except women and children. Now, if you go to a church program, who do you find more in church program? Women. Women are more sensitive about the matters of the kingdom than men. Women are more sensitive about spiritual things. Yes, and that's why even women, the woman was first deceived before Adam. The Bible said it was a woman that was deceived. Now, but what am I trying to say? Where am I driving at? Jesus had compassion on the people. And the compassion led him to feeding them with those loaves and fishes. So before Jesus could multiply the loaves and the fishes, there was compassion. 5 loaves of bread, 2 fishes were multiplied to feed a rough estimate of over 20,000 people, numbering the women and the children. Over 20,000 people were fed because a man had compassion. He said, I have compassion for the multitude. They have followed me 3 days and I have nothing to eat. And Jesus called the disciples and they brought us 2 loaves and 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus multiplied it and he satisfied all of them. What is the Lord saying through this revelation? The Lord is saying that those things he has deposited into your hands, those loaves and fishes, can be multiplied to serve your generation if it can be a vessel of compassion. Hallelujah. Compassion can multiply the grace upon your life. Compassion that is acted upon. Jesus was always moved with compassion. Jesus was always moved with compassion. If the compassion you have doesn't move you, you question the compassion. If it does not move you, you question it. Yes, it must move you to act. There must be action, action, action. Be not just hearers, but doers of the word. Action. So compassion drove him. It drove him. Compassion drove him. And he fed those multitudes. See, I want to say this, but I don't know. Okay, let me not say the way I really want to say it, so I don't sound too hard. See, there is no miracle that can be done if their heart does not feel for that thing, first of all. If Jesus didn't have compassion for the multitude, he couldn't multiply those fishes and bread. Yes. That compassion is a driving force. It's a driving force that steers up the anointing. It's a driving force. Compassion is a driving force that steers up the anointing. Myself, in my own little ways, I know how I have compassion for the helpless. If I see that someone is helpless, I can stake my life for it. I can stake my life for it. The other day, that was about a month ago, I just want to share this. I was going to the bank with my wife and I saw a multitude gathered outside and there was a serious problem in front of the bank, Access Bank in Kubwa, Abuja here. This was about a month ago. And I asked what happened and they showed me a man that was slapped by 2 other men for blocking their road with his vehicle.
And they said they began to just beat him. And soldiers were there, military men were there, police were there without doing nothing. And look at me, a little boy. I looked at that situation. I felt for the man when I went there. I could not stand it. And nobody would have known I was a pastor. I could not stand it. I went to those men. I raised up my voice. Come now, and they must apologize to this man, or else I was going to deal with them. So they did not know the manner of person speaking. They didn't know whether I was a false man or whatever. And they now asked me, who are you? I said, you must come down from the vehicle. Now I hit the vehicle. Say, come down right now. Apologize to that man, or else you are not living here. And I came with a public transport, and this man had a very flashy car. The other man has his own car. But when I found that, because the man now told me that it was the other man that first pushed them. But when I went to ask the other man, the people there told me that it was actually those people that just started beating the man. The man did them nothing. Even an elderly man there was telling me, my God, I was moved with compassion. I said, no, that was not going to be. The anointing of God being upon me, because it was not just by myself. The anointing of God upon me, as I shouted at those men, they came out, they apologized. I said, you must even go down on your knees and apologize. I got angry with even the police officers there. I shouted at all of them. The Lord arrested the atmosphere for me. People were wondering, who is this person? Who is this person? So, justice was given to that young man. And the young man was apologized to. And when he was about to drive, I saw him. He was thanking me and he began to cry. A man of about 40-something years was crying because they bullied him. They assaulted him because they felt that they were two and he was one. The compassion that drove me helped me to see the case settled. Even till I entered the bank, people were coming to say thank you for saving that situation. Why I just shared this is that the compassion that rose up within me to see that justice prevailed for that young man arrested that situation. If I was not compassionate, nothing would have happened. That is, by the way, what I'm saying is that in your sphere, wherever God is calling you to, if you are not compassionate about people, if you are not compassionate about people, God cannot do much with you, my friend. Oh, Jesus. I pray people will understand what I'm saying. I pray you will understand what I'm saying. Apart from this situation I just shared now, I have been to different places and I've seen things happen because compassion drove and compassion rose within me for that. And when the compassion rose, the anointing for that situation came. And as the anointing comes, one way or another, God will arrest the situation for me to prevail. If you are not compassionate about the poor, if you are not compassionate about seeing the gospel expanding, God cannot trust you with kingdom works and finances. God cannot. It is God seeing from those little levels how committed you are that God can trust you with those things. This is a principle. Compassion. 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 Compassion is important in your work with God. Anything you want to do for God. If you want to be a sound teacher of God's word, you must be compassionate about people that are dying in error, spiritual error, false doctrines. You must be compassionate about people going to hell because of false doctrines. On that platform, God can anoint you with the oil of teaching. Yes, with a dynamic understanding of his word. Compassion. Compassion. Compassion is important, my friend. On this journey, compassion is important. I want you to say, I'll be a vessel of compassion from today. Say, I will be a vessel of compassion from today. I will be a vessel of compassion from today. I want you to say that. Hit your hands on the chest and say, from today, in the name of Jesus, I will be a vessel of compassion. Help me, O God, to be a vessel of compassion. Marites Madrionio from Hong Kong says, I want that boldness. Please don't try that thing I did. If If the hand of God does not come upon you in such situation, when the hand of God comes, you will know. And when the hand of God comes, he will give you justice. I tell you the truth. Yes. He's going to give you justice.
We should be vessels of compassion. We should be vessels of compassion. Be a vessel of compassion. And God will do much with you. If you are a vessel of compassion, God will do mighty works with you from today. Now look at Mark chapter 1 verse 41. It says, and Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Be thou clean. Be thou clean. Be thou clean. Jesus said, I will. He was speaking to a leper. The leper came to him, beseeching him, kneeling down before him, and saying, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. Jesus moved with compassion and said, put forth his hand and said, and touched him and said, I will. Why would Jesus touch the leper when the leper is unclean? He touched him because he was driven by compassion. And he said, be thou clean. Be thou clean. But before he says, be thou clean, did you see compassion there? My friend, if I'm to emphasize upon this word compassion, we will take hours, hours on this study. But next week, by God's grace, we'll still continue the series on the man God uses. But I see you tonight rising as a vessel through which God will use in your generation, in the name of Jesus. You are going to be a vessel through which God will use in your generation, in the name of Jesus. There is a spirit called the spirit of compassion. Let the spirit of compassion come upon us. Compassion for the sick, compassion for the oppressed, compassion for the weak, compassion for the trodden, for the downtrodden. Let compassion come upon us like the rain, in the name of Jesus. I see a broken people, a broken people. It takes brokenness for you to have compassion. If you're proud, you can't have compassion. A proud man cannot have compassion. A proud man cannot have compassion. But if you are a broken man, compassion is by your door. And I pray for you by the authority in the name of the Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth. The oil of compassion is coming upon you from today. Place your right hand upon your forehead. Say, Father. Repeat after me. Say, Father. In the name of Jesus, let the spirit of compassion rest upon me from today. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, as the dove rested upon the Messiah on the day of his baptism, let the spirit of compassion rest upon me for my generation. In the name of Jesus, and may I, Lord, be relevant for you. Say, Father, may I be relevant for you in the name of Jesus. Repeat after me as your hand is upon your head. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, let the anointing that comes with compassion follow me wherever I go. In the name of Jesus. That is settled. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The man God uses. There are generals rising in different generations. And we are not going to be at the rear. We are going to be at the vanguard. We are going to be at the forefront of this battle. Glorifying Jesus. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to be relevant for him in our generation. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. The spirit of hardness is broken from us. We will not be a hardened people, but we will be a people that are compassionate for our generation. May the Lord bless you all. Make his face to shine upon you, lift up his countenance upon you. May the grace of God alight upon you. In Jesus' name. God bless you.
God, through his servant, Apostle Christian Nwoke, has just delivered to you a message from heaven. Now you are blessed and empowered to lead a victorious life by the power of the risen Christ. Amen.
For your programs, bookings, crusade and testimonies, message us on WhatsApp with +234 7032469360. You can follow Apostle Christian Nwoke on Facebook. Download our messages through the following platforms: www.foreshare.com or by messaging us on WhatsApp. You can also get the messages on our Telegram and YouTube channel by searching Apostle Christian Nwoke. Visit our website www.ghsermons.com for more information.
You can also spread the gospel we preach by becoming a kingdom partner with us through your love offerings. Kindly message us on WhatsApp with +234 7032469360 to become a partner. We are God's Army Global.
bringing the fullness of God to every man, and taking us numberless as the sand by the seashore to heaven with us, even you.